Good morning. Thank you all for coming. My name is Eros Francisco. I work as a deputy director for IPNI in Brazil, the International Plant Nutrition Institute. I'm here to present not a paper out of a field trial or a greenhouse experiment. Can you hear me? Okay. Thank you, Fernando. But to present the through a broad perspective, what is going on in the soybean cropping system in Brazil. So my colleagues, Dr. Gil Câmara, is an associate professor at the University of São Paulo, and he was with me in a tour through the main soybean production region in Brazil, and also Dr. Luis Prochnov and Walter Kazarin, who are also directors in IPNI Brazil. Well, just to put in a perspective, you may all be aware the soybean production in the world is almost in the old continents, but mainly in the North American and South America. And I brought some data from the FAO statistics. If we sum U.S., Brazil, and Argentina, we end up with 80% of the soybean production in the world. So the U.S. is participating with 32% of the 2014 production. The Brazil is participating with 29%, and Argentina 18%. So we are talking about 276 million tons for this season. And in Brazil, some of you may not have been in Brazil before, but just to summarize some information, Brazil is divided in five regions. It's important for me to mention this because of the information I'm going to bring later. The south of Brazil, there is a mouse here. Okay. The south, southeast, midwest, northeast, and north of Brazil. And this is the geographical distribution of soybean cultivated in Brazil. Soybean started to be cultivated in the very south of Brazil, in the state of Rio Grande do Sul, back in the 60s, when genetic material was brought to Brazil from the U.S. So, kind of the same latitude, 32 degrees south, and it started to move north through the years, so and reached the Cerrado region of Brazil, which is the savanna, the Brazilian savanna, in all this area here, and this is the soybean production by county or municipality that, as we say in Brazil, and you can see the darker color is where the most of the production of soybean is concentrated. So the state of Mato Grosso, which is the heart of the Brazilian production, is where the world's most important county is located, which is the county of Sorriso. And we visit this area. We drove about 2,000 kilometers to see many fields and try to interpret what's going on with the soybean production in Brazil. Well, just to inform you that due to the difference in latitudes, Brazil cultivates groups from 4 to almost 10, which is a very large range of groups. But mainly between 6 to 8.5. So if we investigate the history of the soybean cropland evolution in Brazil, we're going to see that in 20 years, from early 80s to 2000, we kind of doubled the cropland of soybean cultivated in Brazil. And from 2000 to 2013, we almost double the same land. So it's a great increase of cropland in only 10 years. And I brought the maize information as well, because it plays a role to know that maize is growing due to some changes that are occurring in the soybean production nowadays. And the Midwest is the largest producer of soybean in Brazil. That's why I show the information here. And speaking about the yield average of soybean in Brazil, this is the chart, the line, and the Midwest, it's a little bit higher than the average of the whole country. But we can segregate, and we did this exercise just to understand what is going on. We segregate the history in three parts: until 1990, until 2000, and after 2000. And in average, soybean yield increased annually 3.1 before 1990, 4.6, and after 2000, the evolution was only 1.1 per year. What was going on in that time? In 1980s, we had a slow advance of soybean into the Cerrado, which is the savanna of Brazil. Very poor soils, so a lot of technology was added to the cropping system, and it was the beginning of the no-tillage adoption. In the 1990s, a strong advance of soybean into the Cerrado came up, and new varieties started to be released, adapted to low latitudes and resistant to stem canker and cyst nematode, which were the most important problems at that time. In 2000, we have the introduction of Asian rust, which is a very strong disease for soybeans. The valley that we see in 2005 is the result of the great dissemination of this disease throughout Brazil. But we do have some problems regarding soil compaction in the old no-till system and high population of nematodes, now Pratelenchus, which is causing difficulties for production. And maize, we did the same exercise, and we divide in two sections, before 2000 and after 2000, and maize evolved 4.8% in yield per year and 8.4% in year after 2000. In 1990s, we had slow advance as a second crop following soybean, so we are talking about two crops per cropping season in the Cerrado, and in 2000, a strong advance as a second crop following soybean in the Cerrado, mainly because of the Asian rust. We have to harvest soybean as soon as we can, because this is the main control of the disease. If you let soybean longer than 120 days in your field, you're gonna harvest almost nothing, or at least 50% of the potential. So this is causing a great impact in the system. So that's why we decided to rank 5 points that we think are very important for understand the challenges for increasing soybean yield nowadays. The first one is the early seeding and short maturity varieties. If we understand the evolution of the system in time, we end up in 2013 with soybean being grown from September to early January, basically between 95 days to 115 days, because you have to harvest before as soon as you can before because of Asian rust. And then maize started to grow because there was a window of opportunity, because there is still rain available for the next crop. The second point is very important nowadays, is biological end fixation. There are two pictures from two different fields. The soybean is in the same growth stage, reaching full maturity, almost R6, and you see two different root systems. One very good, one very bad, showing problems with soil compaction, and nodules are very different from from the two images. And I selected one information that if you don't have a good system and if you don't have cover crops forming residue on the soil, you can have problems with the soil temperature, which increases because of this, the solar radiation is very high. The other problem that is happening is the broadcast of phosphorus sources. And this is happening because of a change in the system, not because it is agronomically recommended, but because there is a vast amount of area that must be cropped, and so you have to speed up the seeding moment. And if you have in the top surface, if you have a gradient of fertility, you're going to have problems with production, with yield. And there is a result that was recently released showing that if you have more phosphorus available deeper in your profile, you can reach higher yields. The next one is soybean going into the sandy soils, because there are many sandy soils in the Cerrado. And although they are not in Brazil, not recommended for annual cropping, it is a reality for many farmers. And the most limiting nutrients that we have to manage are N, K, B, and S, which are leachable. And with no crop residue, high temperatures can have great consequences on nitrogen fixation. The first picture is a nitrogen deficiency symptom. And the second one is a potassium deficiency, very clear, because the potassium was not applied yet. And see how young this plant is, showing a severe deficiency of K because no fertilizer was applied yet. The farmer said, there is no time for application. I have to do a vast area, and I did not come to this field yet. So that's the consequence. And also early desiccation for an early harvest. There are a vast area that soybean is being coated, killed too soon. And this is the impact that we have measured in one field trial. If you, like in this picture, the soybean field was killed in R6. So half of the yield was possible. So general comments, there are high yields of soybean happening in Brazil, and with where agronomic practices are used correctly, and the ecological intensification of the cropping system represents a huge advantage for regions where two crops can be grown in a season, but is highly dependent on fast operational system to crop vast area in short time, and that is the challenge that we have. So with that, I thank you all for your attention. If you have to grow corn or cotton after your soybean, you think about desiccating at least 80% of your land. If you have to grow corn and cotton, if you don't, then you have time. Yes?
For those of us not familiar with Brazil, could you just give some sort of round numbers of how big some of the acreages the growers are working on that don't have time to do?
Yes. Thank you for the question. The picture I showed with the desiccation, the field desiccation, that is a 25,000 acres farm. And the farmer was doing the desiccation in 12,000 acres because he had to plant cotton just in the next week. So he killed the soybean very early just to open land for cotton. Yes.
So the farmers, they generally inoculate the seeds with adobe?
Yes, good question. The inoculation is well recommended every year. Some farmers are not respecting this because 20 or 30 years of history of growing soybean, they claim that there is enough bacteria in the soil, so they skip inoculation, but we do not recommend this. Yes, there are many research done in Brazil, and we can say that we have a range of 5 to 11% yield increase by annual inoculation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.